Welcome back to the Better Divorce Podcast. I am your host, Paulette Rico, and I'm here to guide you through the storm of divorce into much calmer waters. So hold tight. Whether you're contemplating divorce, in the thick of it, or just rebuilding post-divorce, I've got you covered. Each episode, we'll tackle the tough topics, share resilient stories, and offer practical, helpful advice to help you navigate with confidence wisely. Remember, you're not alone. I've been there, and so have millions of others. And your brighter future awaits, I promise. Ready to turn a tough time into a time of growth? I know you are. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you find this content helpful, please share it with others who might benefit. Now, let's dive into today's topic. See you soon. I'm hosting a retreat in Belize. Some of you may know, but I used to live there. And Belize is a melting pot of culture that carries over into the food, the music, and the fun. It is the best of both vibes, from jungles to ground you and beaches to heal and soothe. I lived there for many years and go back and forth between there and Atlanta because I can't get enough. My co-host, Tierra, visited me and didn't want to leave either. No one does. This is paradise, folks. My co-host, Tierra, and I chatted about the perfect all-inclusive location for you ladies that are going through a pivot in your life and need to reset, renew, and rebuild, and we nailed it. We kick off with a three-day adventure in the luxurious eco-resort Copal Tree in the southern Belize jungle, followed by three luxurious days on Thatch Cay Island, a private island over water, oceanfront oasis in the turquoise Caribbean along the Belize Barrier Reef. Whether you're going through or just coming out of a divorce, especially with a narcissist, a career change, or you just want to get back to the parts of you that you haven't seen in a while, we are talking to you. Make note, May 4th to the 10th, 2024, and start packing. Space is very limited on the private island and in the jungle. Be sure to act now. We have a passion for leading truly transformational healing events, from heart-opening, accessible guided meditations to connection-based life-changing tools and practices. We curate each moment with care and compassion to ensure every lady is taken care of from the initial registration to the final namaste. It's better in Belize. Hello and welcome back to the Better Divorce Podcast. My name is Paulette Rigo. I am your host. And today I introduce you to Mark Gibson. He is the founder and CEO of Lost and Found Forensics. And the reason I asked Mark to come on the show today, I get so many questions about technology and divorce, your cell phone, your social media, texting, your laptop, your desktop, just technology in general. How safe is it? And what access do people have to their private information? And really, how do you get a hold or access to your spouses when you're going through a contentious or maybe even not a contentious case, but you're looking for some confirmation of data? And Mark and I found each other, and it has been a blessing to have gotten his additional expertise. This is not my expertise, but it is his. So I welcome you, Mark, to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
I appreciate it. So you're in, you know, you and I both work nationally, which is great. We can help people, but my work is a little bit more fluid. And I know when it comes to technology, sometimes you really have to have that piece of machinery or equipment, right? Is that the word I'm searching for? In your hand, right? But to just kind of break down a little bit of what Mark does, he does cell phone data recovery. He does PIN code bypass, background investigations, information technology security consultations, and in general, everything that you might need to have answers about technology in general. So this isn't my forte, but it's his. So Mark, tell a little bit of your background, why you do this, how you got to do this, and how you're able to help people. What made you think of doing this?
Okay, well, so I enlisted in the United States Army, Army National Guard out of high school. I did that for 20 years, retired last year, and I worked as a military intelligence analyst. And so a lot of the computer systems we use have databases. And so for my regular civilian job, once I graduated from college, you know, I was looking around, the economy had just collapsed. And so there's what I wanted to do, and there's what there was the demand for. And the demand was for database administrators. So I got it. No intention of getting into it, no intention of staying into it. And it's turned into just over a decades long career as a database administrator. And then eventually got married to a beautiful woman, very charming. But as some marriages do, they started to go south. And, you know, technology, phones, it's, you know, basically surgically attached to everyone's hand. And her mannerism started changing. The way she acted started changing. We started having a lot more fights. She used to just tell me, hey, you know, go into my phone real quick and respond to my parents and tell them this. Then it got to she would only get open her phone with her finger swipe. And she turned it to where she, if it's, it would tell her she got a notification, it wouldn't say from who. She started getting very secretive. And I knew something was up. And so then I noticed a slightly inappropriate picture when her phone was open, got sent to her, called her out on it. That started an argument. I took the phone while she wasn't looking. That started a huge fight, and I told her I just didn't care. I was going to find a way to get the data off the phone, and if I was wrong, I'm an idiot, and if I'm right, then there's going to be an issue. That's where things took a bit sharp turn for me. I found out that despite all my IT knowledge, the hardware on a cell phone differs from anything any IT professional has used. The software on a cell phone differs from anything an IT professional has ever used. And so that took a 3-year journey of learning mobile device forensics, which I was then able to later on pull everything off the phone, found what I was looking for. It was bad. And I started the divorce process, gave everything to my lawyer. My lawyer jaw dropped, like, this is amazing. He gave me a checklist, but said, look, shut off your social media. You know, don't talk to her. Do not date anybody. You know, just go crawl into a hole in the ground and wait for this is done. He's like, this is the most airtight divorce case I've ever had. Then after my divorce was done, it only took 4 months. After my divorce was done, he's suggesting, you know, maybe you should offer this to other people. And I blew it off. And then after my divorce, a few people talking to them, they're like, why don't you offer those services to other people? And after you hear that enough, I said, well, you know, let me try to offer these services to others. So I then went to work for a PI firm for about 12 months. I had 6 clients with them, helped them out with their situations. They were pleased with how things went. The PI firm decided to branch into more security. So we kind of split ways. I spent about a year learning how to start my own business and then relaunched as Lost and Found Forensics back in July. And so I started assisting clients from there, trying to help them get the answers they're looking for. And it's been eye-opening for some because people don't understand. It's you think you know who your spouse is, your coworkers, your brother, sister, whomever, your best friend. Get into somebody's cell phone, you see their search history, you see groups on social media that they follow, social media accounts you didn't know they had, things that they order online, emails that they've received, and you know, they become this whole other person that nobody, not only you, but nobody knew existed. But then you can, you know, in certain states, I believe 32 states to be exact, you can take that in a divorce case and show the judge, hey, look, this is what I'm really dealing with. Even in cases where You've got a narcissistic spouse that love bombs you and does this hot, cold, love, hate relationship to manipulate you. That's a great way to catch them in the middle of it. And that's a great way for your lawyer and you to show to the court, hey, that this is what I'm working with. Or in other cases, if you're at a no-fault state, if you're trying to collect assets, it's a great way to track assets, especially if the husband, and it's usually the guy, likes to take finances and hide it into cryptocurrencies or hide it into the stock market.
Well, I'm taking notes if anyone can tell on the video, but lots of things to talk about here. First, thank you for your service. I never like to be remiss in acknowledging that. So thank you. Second, I'm sorry you had to go through that. It's not fun. And kudos to you for having the insight or intuitive sense to notice that something was different. A lot of people sweep it under the rug, look the other way, chalk it up to, it's me. You know, we could go into that a lot. And you mentioned the narcissistic thing. And when you live in a relationship where one person feels that there isn't a level of the playing field, right, where one person is making all the decisions or controlling the finances, micromanaging decision making, and many others, they tend to not want to make waves, right? They tend to kind of want status quo and keep things going, because it's too stressful to argue. So when you see that there's a change in behavior, and yes, you mentioned that, you know, that the phone is attached to the hand, right? Or did you attach to the head? Where did you say the phone was attached to?
Surgically attached to everyone's hand.
Permanently. Did you hear that? That was the quote, everyone. Permanently attached to your hand. Yes, I used to teach yoga. And there would even be people that would bring their cell phones to a yoga class. Mind blown, but I digress. Yes, so the phone is attached to their hand. That is sort of okay, but sort of not. But you mentioned that your wife was acting sort of different or mysterious. Like that usual, oh, just check my phone, suddenly became, don't check my phone. I notice in my world a little bit when I start to see people act differently, because I'm not, or what they say their spouse is doing differently, or I'm asking you to pay attention to these little nuances, but they might go and get their teeth whitened or have dental work done. They might go get their eyes examined because they want new glasses and get contact lenses. Perhaps they'll change their hairstyle and go get a tan. I mean, like a tanning salon, not just like lay out in the sun. Or they'll suddenly start having a really big interest in working out or going to the gym a lot. And they'll just start acting a little bit different, taking advantage of maybe health insurance that they think, hey, I might lose my health insurance if we get divorced, so I better take advantage of all this stuff now. So I notice a lot of other things that people do, not so much the phone, but people will come to me and say, he's on his phone or they're on their phone a lot. Like it's glued to their hand, right? They're always on their phone. Even when they're watching a movie together on the couch, or they're together at dinner, or they're always on their phone. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but what you really have to understand is changing the mindset that cell phones are not cell phones, they're computers. They really are little baby computers, and they contain a footprint of everything you do, right? Is that really the eye-opening story?
People are so unaware of what is on a mobile device. So you have more computing knowledge. Like as I record this, I'm using, I believe it's an iPhone 12 mini. There is more computing power on this than first handful of aircraft or spacecraft we sent into outer space. I mean, there's a ton of computing knowledge on this. And so things that people aren't aware that phones do. If you go to Home Depot or you go to Target, even though you do not consciously connect to the Wi-Fi there, it'll still tag that Wi-Fi to the device and let it know it's there. And then that's recorded on the phone. So if you want to track where your spouse is going, I can take that phone and see everywhere it's tagged to a Wi-Fi device. I can tell if it's been tagging to a Bluetooth in a different vehicle other than the vehicles that that the two of you drive. So it attaches to different Bluetooth devices. If you were to, okay, say I'm in Huntsville, Alabama, and I think you said you're in southern Atlanta. So if I was to drive from Huntsville, Alabama to Peachtree, Georgia, my phone is going to let every cell phone tower, even though I don't make a phone call on the way there, know, hey, Mark's phone is going through this area. And then I can actually just give you a map. These are all the cell phone towers between Huntsville, Mark's going from Huntsville, Alabama to Peachtree City, Georgia. And then he stopped and then he turned around and came back. And so your phone just tags of where you're going. Then it has, or I think people have noticed this too, right? So you've got Target. Target keeps a database of your shopping habits. So Target can tell when women are pregnant and not showing yet because based on what they're buying, right? Well, your phone has criteria, and Google and Yahoo and all these search engines have criteria that start, building a profile, and all that's on your phone. And so I can just sit there and pull all that data and then generate a report for you and show you that. And it can be very shocking at times.
Mind blown. So you're sort of discussing or enlightening me, Mark, that private investigation or private investigators back in the day when someone would hire a private investigator to sit in a car and follow someone in a vehicle from point A to point B to point C to point Z throughout the day or the week or the month or however long they're being followed isn't really necessary.
It is necessary. It's just how you want to go about it. I like to think, so when I worked with my PI firm under their umbrella, I was kind of the lazy option. You can't go with us. We'll follow your spouse around. We'll take photos, record everything, or you can just hire Mark, give him the phone, give him 3 days. He'll get you everything you want. And it really depends on what you want to get. Those private investigators can get a husband of your spouse kissing whoever, the person that they're having their affair with.
Sure.
I can pull off "love you, I miss you" off the phone. Now, it depends on the state. Some states there is an emotional affair that's actually in the state guidelines. Like, emotional affairs, same thing as affairs. So if you've got recorded, he or she is saying "I love you, I miss you," and the judge interprets that, that's just as good as a picture or a video recording. But is to gather evidence, and it's where you think your divorce is at and what you're comfortable with is what I recommend going for. The PI firm did a very good job. I do a very good job, but some people also are not comfortable taking their spouse's phone and getting it to me. So boots on the ground private investigator is a better option for you.
Sure. Well, it is good to always have options and also to know what your budget is, right? And what your goal is. First of all, what is your goal in wanting to engage in hiring a technical I'm going to use the word genius expert in this world. Is it because you're looking to prove to a court, which you may not have to, depending on your situation? You did mention the 32 states, but this isn't legal advice, everyone, but this is knowledge. Knowledge in divorce is key. Knowing your options, understanding the risks and the goals, the cost involved is so important. But you have the option of working with a private investigation firm to take photographs and, like you said, have actual tangible proof versus the digital footprint and that cell tower, Bluetooth. Footprint on technology. So walk somebody through if they're married and they maybe had that moment of, what's going on here? And they've asked their spouse point blank, are you having an affair? Is there something you want to talk about? Like, should we go to therapy? Like, are you thinking about divorce? Whatever the question is. And they flat out deny it over and over. Excuse me, over and over and over again. What are the things that they should think about as to whether the different options to work with someone like yourself or to work with a private relation, a private investigation firm? And are there other alternatives besides following them themselves?
So one, you're going to have someone to talk to, whether it's a close friend. There's so many, and these are things I didn't turn to Instagram when I had these issues or even went through my divorce. I got on YouTube, but there's now that I'm on Instagram and I'm marketing my services, I found all these divorce concierges, divorce counselors would have been incredibly beneficial. I actually didn't tell anybody I was having marital issues until I filed for divorce. Then it was like this friends, family, everyone was caught off guard. Right. So you need someone that's going to help anchor your sanity, because there was a point even in my marriage where I felt that I might be the one with the issue gaslighting my wife because she adamantly denied everything. Told me I was crazy for thinking this until I got the evidence off the phone. Then I was completely vindicated. So it's very rough. But number one is don't panic. Number two, find someone that can help you plan this out. So I look at it as this. A divorce lawyer is like a CEO of a company. Me, I'm just either that CEO's marketing strategist or head of human resources. I'm just part of that company that they use to execute the company's goal of making more money. So a divorce lawyer can just include me as part of the strategy. But I would say your biggest thing is if you're going to divorce, you want evidence, you need to document as much as you can, whether it's a digital forensic specialist, private investigator, a forensics accountant. There's organizations, maybe you're one of them, that can actually help you financially prepare. This is what your income is, this is what your finances are, this is what you can afford. Let's go ahead and start, developing a strategy, but also don't do anything drastic that's going to cause the other side to get suspicious or panic. I've had a few people reach out to me that, they had already separated from their spouses and there's no way they could get the phone. And it's like, okay, they saw the value in what I was providing, but I'm unable to help them because, well, now their spouse lives in a different house. You're legally separated, whatever. You don't want to, in case of fire, break glass, if you will. That's your last option. I would say just make them feel comfortable and normal so you have that time to gather evidence. And I've said this since I was probably in high school. I've told my soldiers in the military this. If you're doing something wrong, sooner or later, you're going to get caught. It's inevitable. And so be patient. Like I said, bring somebody like me in, I can assist, but like they're going to make mistakes. And you brought up some of the things that, are very obvious in someone that's changing their routines or behaviors at as far as engaging in an affair. But what I've noticed is a lot of it is very subtle, and especially with women, because women are a lot more intricate than men are, far more detailed. I mean, it just is. It's men we think in hours, days, weeks. Women think in weeks, months, years. And so it's, are they changing gym memberships to a gym that's a little bit less conveniently located? Are they changing their shopping days to go get groceries, or times to go get groceries different days of the week? Or, if for a husband, it's like, now a once a week beer with the coworkers is turning into a twice a week beer with the coworkers every single week, as opposed to once a month. But so there's these subtle pattern changes that you can see that, and then they happen over a course of time. So you kind of think it's a little off. And so I think one of them was, we lived in Dothan, Alabama at the time. So my wife would start, and I knew something had to be up. We had a nice apartment complex. She could have walked around in. We had public parks all around us, but she would drive 25 minutes to the local army base and go walk on the track out there, which was not convenient. And I was like, that's how obvious is that? So I called her on it one time and she immediately stopped, but that was one of the indicators. I was like, okay, so she's not going to do that, but she'll probably try something else. And so, you know, she would wait for me to go off to Army National Guard stuff, whatever. But there's just, like I said, subtle behavior pattern changes. And so document that, get a legal pad, write it down. These things take time. As you're listening to this podcast, by the time you're done listening and by the time you go to bed tonight, you're not going to have a plan to solve all your issues and fix this. This is, they spent weeks setting up the affair. You're going to have to spend weeks documenting it and then reach out, and I'd say reach out to a divorce lawyer now. Like, what do I need to do to start preparing for this divorce so I can be in the most advantageous position?
Right. Well, the work I do and why I founded Better Divorce Academy, and I know we briefly spoke before about your work, but for those of you that aren't familiar with me, I wear three hats in the divorce world. I'm a credentialed private mediator that works with couples that are committed to avoid litigation. They just want to keep it amicable, uncontested, so that one is not the plaintiff, one is not the defendant, and they're not engaged in a legal lawsuit, keeping it an uncontested experience. I hand that MOA to a transactional attorney. They submit that to the court. The attorney is officially assigned to one of them as the plaintiff, but they didn't go down to the courthouse. No one stepped foot into the courthouse, and they're able to keep their private life private. But not everyone can do that. It takes both parties to cooperate and want that experience to keep it private and stay in control. So if they can't do that, I work with one of the parties where I hold their hand, kind of lock arms with them, and walk through the fire with them. I always say I would get divorced for you if I could, but it's not legal. I don't do that, but I can get divorced with you. So we're doing it collectively, not necessarily making decisions for clients, but helping guide them so they know their options and knowing all the resources and tools that they need during the process. Now, I'm also the director of coaching and case management for Divorce Right, which is a corporate EAP employee benefit program where we do a two-tiered solution in divorce sensitivity training for the HR departments, and then we match the employees with the correct professional and divorce coach. So whether you're mediating and you just need what I call confirmation of, dissipation of marital funds, is divorce the right decision? If we've already been going to therapy for, oh gosh, years, it seems, and nothing's changed, everything stays the same, but we both still say we want to work it out, but nothing's changing, and I really want out. That's a hard thing to do. Both parties have to really not be looking to drag each other through litigation, and it takes a lot of courage to stand up and say, I don't want that experience. I'd rather have something healthier, particularly for the family and the children. It's so expensive and so lengthy. So when there is a question of either missing funds, change in behavior, like you mentioned, intimate photos or unusual text messages, or just changes, this really can be the confirmation or the solidity in helping someone make the right decisions to, in fact, decide divorce is the right thing. I believe in forensics. I've worked with many forensic accountants over the years, and I've worked with many private investigators too. But Mark is the first person I found that does cell phone data recovery, and I wanted to bring this conversation to you. So, how can people best find your work and learn a little bit more about what you do, Mark?
So I do have an Instagram page. It's just Lost and Found Forensics. You can DM me 24 hours a day. I'll respond to you as soon as I can. Also have my website, www.lostandfoundforensics.com. Just scroll to the bottom of the page. There's an inquiry submission you can fill out. Message me. I'll get the notification and I'll respond back to you.
Thank you so much for this. I really wanted to shine a light on it. As you mentioned, people's cell phones are attached to them. They don't go anywhere without them. In fact, sometimes I feel liberated, but yet lost and panicked if it's not around, right? So I know people can relate to that. But in divorce, you have to be careful. So yeah, be alert. You know, if your spouse's cell phone is open and you have the opportunity to take a glance, go for it. My husband has the passcode on mine and he has the passcode. I have the passcode on his and he has the passcode on mine. And that's the way it should be. If you don't trust each other 100%, what are you doing married? But that's just my personal opinion. One question I want to wrap up with a little segue here. So if the phone is damaged or destroyed, or I don't know if you can ever really destroy it, does that disappear the data? Does it just vanish into thin air? What happens to it?
So it depends how it's damaged, to the extent that it's damaged. I've got very good equipment that can do a lot of different kinds of recovery. Obviously, if you put the phone through a wood chipper, there's going to be an issue. If you know, there's other ways that it could, you know, seriously hurt the phone. If it's a cracked screen or maybe
water damage, like what?
In some cases, water damage isn't an issue, depending on how much water actually got inside the contents of the phone. But there's various ways. There is a method that my company does not possess. It's a more delicate method called chip-off forensics, where they actually just take apart the phone, they pull out the memory chip, they plug it into a machine, and it just pulls everything right off the chip. And it's great, too, because it bypasses all the security hardware that was put in. So that's definitely a method, but that's actually beyond my company's capabilities. There's only a handful of groups out there that I know of that can even pull that off. The FBI. So, and then one or, you know, maybe a few private entities.
Good to know. A lot of people say, oh, it's damaged. I lost it. Oh, I don't know where my phone went. Oops, I got to get a new one, right? One thing too is also having two phones or more, like having that burner phone or that mysterious, I always like to call it a drug dealer phone. Sorry if I offended anyone, but you know, that like, ooh, you know, that, you know, disposable type phone, and be careful with crypto, right? You mentioned that a little bit, you know, that it isn't just where they're going and what they're buying and who they're hanging out with. There's a lot of financial things that people hide, and it can cause a lot of problems. So I hope this has been helpful, everyone. We don't have all the answers, but I do want to make sure that you have the best resources, the best tools in your toolbox so that you can divorce with wisdom and grace and dignity. Divorce is not fun. It is not easy. It's why I founded Better Divorce Academy. It's why I authored Better Divorce Blueprint and why I started this podcast, because I want everyone to have, you know, communication and tools to be able to say, well, I've got some more food for thought here. So reach out. You know how to find me, Better Divorce Academy, Paulette at Better Divorce Academy. And yes, my cell, 781-626-40. It is real. Thank you, Mark, for your time. Thank you, everyone, continuing to love and like and support me and my work. And thanks to everyone. Till a better day. Keep thriving. See you soon. Thanks for joining me today. If you were inspired by today's episode, please share it with a friend or a loved one. My hope is you feel empowered to take some action, no matter how big or small. Action that allows you to step out of the chaos and thrive on your own terms. If this podcast added any value to your day, please review it on iTunes, Spotify, and Apple Podcast. Until next time. Keep thriving in the chaos.